And we're back here on Energy Wise. I'm Ty Keltner, and with me is our building and energy guru, Ilya Benesch. How are you doing today, Ilya?
Oh, I think I'm doing pretty good.
And are you ready to take some questions then?
As far as I'm aware of.
All right. First question. I have frost on the outside of the vents that are high up on the end walls of my house. What do we do?
Well, that's pretty indicative of air leakage coming from somewhere inside the house, more than likely through the roof, and then it's getting out to the vents where it's condensing and forming hoarfrost. And so it's worth a look up there. There's a lot of places that could be leaking. You could have a chimney or plumbing penetrations going through the ceiling that aren't sealed properly. Another issue is bathroom vents, bathroom fans. Sometimes they break or they never get connected and run to the outside. Any one of those things is an issue. When it warms up would be a good time to crawl up there and take a look. If you've got that much frost building up on the outside, then there is definitely an issue going on and you could have some moisture damage.
And I anticipate there might be a good chance for energy and a lot of money leaving your house.
Very much so. Very much so.
Next question. I just replaced my 20-year-old wood stove with a new one. The chimney is just as old. Should I replace that too?
That is sort of a case-dependent question. It's worth a very thorough inspection. You can do it yourself to a certain degree if there's any doubt. Or if you've had any chimney fires, then I would consult a chimney sweep. But one thing that you can do is, if you're able, is to get inside your attic and take a look at the chimney pipe itself and make sure that it has the required amount of clearance between the chimney and the insulation. And that's one of the big issues that we see where houses burn down, is that the chimney pipes typically require 2 inches of airspace around the chimney, and someone will insulate right against the chimney pipe. And after years, what happens is you can have either the insulation or the wood constantly being exposed to heat, and eventually that flash point, that ignition point of that material drops, and it takes a lot less to ignite it. And so one good hot fire, or worst case, a chimney fire, can get that stuff moving. So going up there and taking a look is money and time well spent.
Chim-chim-chiru. All right, I'm getting a lot of moisture and ice building up on my windows, especially when it is really cold. Are my windows bad?
Well, this is another one of those questions where it goes, that depends. If you have single-pane windows, those are going to be prone to icing with relatively low levels of humidity in your house. And those really aren't up to snuff for our climate. But if you've got good windows, triple pane windows, and you've bought them recently, you could have a moisture problem in the house, and that would mean taking a look around and making sure that your bathroom fan is working and making sure that it is ducted to the outside. One thing you can do is take a piece of paper or a paper towel and hold that up against the fan when it's running full speed and see if it's actually pulling any air. Sometimes they make a lot of noise, but they don't move any air.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Another source of humidity actually that people tend to overlook is if they've got a crawl space and they haven't put a vapor barrier on top of the ground in the crawl space. That can be a continuous source of moisture. Even if you're down there and that ground feels perfectly dry, it can still have enough moisture in there that's going to get drawn into the house. And that is a code issue. So the building codes require you to have a vapor barrier, and that needs to be well sealed all the way around the crawl space.
I live in a cabin on posts above the ground, and my floor is always cold. What can I do to fix this? That is a good energy question.
Well, yes. If the floor is cold, it's a combination of things. Probably it's under-insulated, and there may be some drafts. And a lot of times the cabin floors, they're sized to be safe, but there's not enough depth in there to accommodate the right amount of insulation. So you might have a 2x8 or a 2x6 floor, but current energy codes are requiring us to have R38 fiberglass in there, and that's a 2x12 bay. So it's a matter of adding more insulation. One thing you can do if you are willing to go down there and retrofit is you can cut and fit 1.5 inch rigid foam board and fit that right up against the bottom of the floor between the joists, and then add your fiberglass back in, and that's going to go a long ways towards making that floor seem a lot warmer. One other thing is that squirrels love getting into insulation and either making nests into it or carting it away, and since they're compulsive little creatures, they can empty out a whole joist bay in short order if they have access to it.
And it seems like that could be a lot of money also spilling out through your floor as well. And at the same time, you're going to have creatures taking advantage of your generosity and cold feet.
Yes, that's all very true. So it's definitely worth a look.
Is there any relation to pipes in there as well, maybe, since you have pipes in your floor?
Certainly. And fiberglass insulation isn't the greatest insulator for pipes because it does allow air to pass through it. It slows air down, but it doesn't stop it. And so you can get a draft in there and it'll freeze a pipe. You're much better off with rigid foam or sprayed foam around pipes.
Okay. And I had an energy audit done, and it said that my house might not supply enough ventilation air for acceptable indoor air quality. What does that mean, and what are my options?
Well, when you get an energy rating, and it says that on your 3 or 4 page statement, based on their test, when they have depressurized the house with the blower door, they're looking for a certain amount of air leakage. And if they don't have that, then the computer program automatically prints out this caution and says that by their standards, your house is too airtight. This can lead to a couple of problems in terms of getting moisture, excessive moisture in the house, and your windows are a good indicator. And if you don't take care of that and it's severe enough, you can get some mold growth and things like that, and it's just not a healthy environment because you're not exchanging enough air. And so this is a good way to look at this and say, hey, I've got an opportunity here to fix a problem that could actually be fairly severe if I don't deal with it. There's a couple of choices right now. You can install an HRV system. Disadvantage is they're very expensive up front, but they're really the best way to go because of the amount of heat you can recover from the air.
Now what does HRV stand for?
That's a heat recovery ventilator.
Okay.
And so it's a combination of a fan and a heat exchanger, so you're basically recovering some of the heat from that air, typically about 70 to 80% efficiency, which is quite significant. If you don't want to use or spend money on an HRV system, the code still allows you to put in an exhaust fan with dedicated supply air vents in the living spaces. That fan needs to run continuously, and it's always pulling air into the house from the vents that are in the different rooms. It does work. The problem there is you're not getting any money savings from the heat recovery portion like you would with an HRV system.
Now, we always talk about houses being too tight and houses being too full of holes. So there seems to be a happy balance between the two then.
There is, but it's just about impossible to achieve. So the general building philosophy right now is that you can't make a house too tight. You can only underventilate it.
Thank you, Ilya.
You're certainly welcome.
And I'd like to remind everybody that you can email us your questions at energywise@cchrc.org. And if we like your questions well enough, we'll try and get them answered on the air. That's all for today.
If you want to submit a question to EnergyWise, email us at energywise@cchrc.org. We'll try and get your question answered on the air. For more information on EnergyWise, including a schedule of upcoming shows, visit the UAF Cooperative Extension Service website at www.uaf.edu/CES or the Cold Climate Housing Research Center at www.cchrc.org. Get EnergyWise. Save money. Become sustainable.